So today's talk is entitled The Holy Spirit Here Now. Anybody recognise what cathedral that is? It's quite a long way away. It's in England. Ely Cathedral. Anybody been to Ely Cathedral? A few people, yeah. It's a beautiful cathedral. If you see it from a distance, that isn't great at doing that, but if you see it from a further distance away than that, it looks like a ship. So the fens all around it, so it's all very flat. And then there's this large building coming up out of the fens. So it looks just like, built to look like a ship. And it's a beautiful cathedral. That's the inside of it, and just majestic. It always makes me wonder how human beings managed to build something so incredible with the resources that they had in those days, so not the resources that we have today. And all of that was built to glorify God. So men and women patiently using their gifts, dedicated to God, built a beautiful place of worship that would bless people throughout the centuries. And in a sense, that's what we're seeking to do as a church here. This has been going for centuries as well, and we're seeking to worship together, to seek God together, and we're seeking to do that in fellowship, in unity. And we're studying a passage today which in some ways is unique. There's obviously parts of what Rod read about that probably only happened on the day of Pentecost, but also there are things which can be ours today. This was fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. So we have the Old Testament, all about the kind of external worship of God, what you do, how you do it, things like that. And then when the Holy Spirit came, that God became internal to everybody who asked him. So we can all have the Holy Spirit within us. We can all know his presence day by day, working in us to change us from one degree of glory to another. So this is part of the supernatural encounters recorded in the Bible series. And probably it's rather simplistic to be fatalistic about these encounters, assuming that God will do whatever he chooses to do, whenever he chooses to do it. There are things that we can do to encourage the Holy Spirit, the supernatural movement of the Holy Spirit in this church, in this fellowship, in ourselves. So what might these be? So we're looking at a whole series of P's today. So that might encourage memory. So first of all, P is for preparation. All the followers of Jesus were of one accord. So remember, Jesus had died, Jesus had risen, he'd spent some time with the disciples, he'd then ascended, and on his ascension he said, I promise that I'll send a comforter, a paraclete, someone who is able to do my work here on earth that won't be me. So these disciples were gathered together around about 120 or so, sharing the same heart, the same love for God, the same trust in his promise, and together the same geography. That's part of the joy of church, isn't it? We come together, we're different places, most of us Rington, some of us outside of Rington, and we're pulled together by a love of God. So we're here together in one place. Before we can be filled, we must recognize our emptiness. We gather together for prayer in obedience, just as these disciples did just that. They recognized that in themselves they didn't have the resources to do what they could do or should do. They had to rely instead on the work of God. These were a few people that were really scared. Jesus, their hero, their saviour, their master, had been killed. What was going to happen next? They were relying totally on God's promise. They had to rely on the work of God. There's something Simon said last week, and I think he talked about a person that was in Africa, and he said to God, I'll take whatever time it takes to bring healing to these people. Didn't quite completely catch what he said, but for me, I kind of recognise that I'm prepared to give God 10 minutes, maybe half an hour at a push, but I want to move on. I want to get on to do the next thing. And sometimes we need to be prepared to give God a little while, and maybe more than a little while. Abiding in God is such a vital thing. And for these disciples, these followers of Jesus, they waited for 10 days. 10 days in that upper room. They didn't know what was to happen or when it was to happen. They were waiting on God's promise and on God's perfect timing. So P, again, is for preparation and it's for prayer. So what was the main thing that they did? All those people together, they prayed, not in a cursory manner, but constant, all together, one accord, with a single purpose. They were devoted, united, lastingly, continuing with one will. They desired what Jesus had promised that will happen. So 120 people, all in one room, this huge, ongoing, 24/7 prayer meeting. Maybe the size of the upper room was probably smaller than this church building. People together, purposeful, united prayer. And it brought them together. It deepened their sense of purpose and brought them into a deeper understanding of the will of God. When the Holy Spirit came, they were ready. Preparation was necessary and prayer was necessary. And then P for God's power, for power. Their waiting wasn't wasted. It wasn't like after so long they decided, right, that's it, that isn't going to happen. We've wasted all this time. Their waiting was not wasted because the promise of Jesus to them was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit came upon them, changed their lives, changed their ambitions, their desires, their plans, their fears and their thoughts of how they were going to do this. How they were going to fulfill the grand commission, remember, that Jesus gave them, go into Judea, Jerusalem, and the uttermost parts of the earth and spread the gospel, make disciples of all nations. How were they going to do that? The wind, the fire, the languages, these were the external evidence of what was happening inside them. No more were they the fearful, cowardly group when Jesus died, but one in purpose. Same obstacles to follow: Roman Empire, the Jews, the thought that they may be the next to die, but this no longer was a motivating factor in their lives. Fear didn't dominate anymore, but the sense of being supported, guided, being part of God's force, being part of God's children. And that was what motivated their desire, was to please God, to follow the Holy Spirit's guidance. So remember that the Jews as a whole, including these disciples, did not generally experience the power of God in their hearts. It was all external, as I was saying, the rituals, the sacrifices, the careful working out of rules and regulations. This was new to a huge body of people such as this. They could know God in their hearts, and this was now for everyone. Look at the scope of Jesus' commission to them. Jerusalem first, then Judea, then Samaria, then the ends of the earth. And we know today that that has been fulfilled. The ends of the earth know about Jesus. No limits. I heard on the radio recently a great man say, imagination is a far greater gift than knowledge. Knowledge is limited. Imagination is limitless. What does God choose for you to do? And then P is for Peter. So Simon Peter, the one who betrayed Jesus, the one who messed up in various ways, he became the new leader of the church as Jesus had foretold. The disciples were already witnesses to the truth, followers of Jesus, but they were to become truth proclaimers and martyrs. The word in Greek for witness is the same word as for martyr. The witness and the martyrdom went together. What did the Holy Spirit speak through the disciples? Well, he spoke about the powerful things God has done. This is the purpose of it all, to bring glory. If we find that any gift of the Holy Spirit brings us glory, then we're in trouble. It's all about bringing God glory. I was thinking this morning, I used to follow a great Christian band called Delirious, and they've obviously now broken up, but various of you will have seen Delirious. And I thought to myself, how on earth did they kind of deflect the fans cheering at them and celebrating their coming on stage and their songs? How did they deflect that so that that was worship to God rather than worship of them? Very interesting challenge, but we are called to worship God, not any person, not any kind of particular theme or particular gift of the Holy Spirit. We're called to worship God. And then P is for Pentecost. So this was a Jewish feast that was held every year, 50 days after Passover. It celebrated the first fruits of the wheat harvest as part of it in, and the first fruits was presented to God at Passover, and then it went on to Pentecost. Jewish tradition also taught that Pentecost marked the day when the law was given to Israel. So here's a Christian historian. It was the best attended of the great feasts because travelling conditions were at their best. There was never a more cosmopolitan gathering in Jerusalem than this one. Remember, every male Jew of a certain age, I think 13 and older, had to go to at least one feast in Jerusalem a year. So this would have been the most popular. So you're talking about millions of people heading for Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, we're told the Holy Spirit came. 10 days after the time Jesus ascended to heaven, and since Jesus commanded them to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They knew in one way what was going to happen. They weren't strangers to the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, disciples, the followers of Jesus, saw the Holy Spirit continually at work in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus, he said, when you see me, you see my Father. I and the Father are one. The Holy Spirit fully shone through Jesus in all he did and said. The disciples also experienced something of the power of the Spirit as they stepped out and served God. We can read that in Luke 10 when they went out to minister. They said the Holy Spirit was with us, enabling us to heal, enabling us to bless others. And the disciples heard Jesus promise a new coming work of the Holy Spirit. They received him in a new way after Jesus finishes his work on the cross. So they're sitting completely in obedience to God. So what does this passage tell us about the gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, firstly, that the gift of the Holy Spirit is promised to us. So that means all of us, every single person. I was reading that passage in Luke 23 where Jesus is dying on the cross. There's two thieves that die either side of him. One thief ridicules him, and the other thief says, he says actually words of repentance. He said, we're getting our just deserts here, but this man is innocent. And then he turns to Jesus and he says, remember me. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The gift of the Holy Spirit is promised to all. The gift of the Holy Spirit is worth waiting for. Yep, 10 days of waiting, but the Holy Spirit came in power. Sometimes we need to wait for that perfect timing when the Holy Spirit comes, when God sends the Holy Spirit to us. And the gift of the Holy Spirit comes as he wills. So not according to our expectation. You know, we can't put in place all the perfect conditions for the Holy Spirit to come and then go, right, Holy Spirit now is guaranteed to come. The Holy Spirit is God, part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, he comes and he does exactly what he wills when he wills. But he's on our side. He blesses us with his presence, with his infilling of us. And the gift of the Holy Spirit can come not only upon individuals, but also upon groups. 120 people gathered in one place. experiencing the Holy Spirit's power together. It also doesn't tell us certain things about the Holy Spirit. So first of all, the gift of the Holy Spirit is not given according to a formula. It's not like, you know, I say the magic words and along comes the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that. Thank God that we're not in control of God. He is in control of what he does. And we don't earn the gift of the Holy Spirit by our seeking. We're not like we can stand there and go, right, I've waited all this time, now you have to give me the Holy Spirit's gifts. So suddenly, with the disciples, there came a sound from heaven, the sound of a rushing mighty wind filling the whole house with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's unusual. But this sound of this vast, fast, mighty wind would make any of these men and women who knew the Hebrew scriptures think of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Think right back. The Bible constantly goes back to the beginning. Remember John 1, which is really a recreation of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Right there, right before the beginning of time, the Holy Spirit's there. The Spirit of God is the breath, the wind of God. In the Hebrew, it's called Ruach, and I think we've got a Ruach cafe sign still outside. The breath of God, that is the Holy Spirit, blowing over the waters of the newly created earth upon newly created men and women. And it tells us in the passage that Rod read, it happened suddenly. Sometimes God moves suddenly. I have conversations with some of you and others, and you're waiting, and suddenly it all comes together. All those different things that you're waiting for all come together. And God delights in moving suddenly to transform our situation, to change who we are. And there was sound. It was real. It couldn't be touched. It came through the ears. They heard something change in the air. And it came from heaven. These things are supernatural. They come from heaven. They're not earthly. They're not created. They're not manipulated or made here. And it was mighty. The Holy Spirit comes in might and power, full of force. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. These divided tongues as of fire appearing over each one were also unusual. But again, it probably should relate to John the Baptist's prophecy that Jesus would baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is John the Baptist. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The idea behind the picture of fire is usually purification. A refiner uses fire to make things pure. Gold is purified through the use of heat and fire. Or fire can burn away what is temporary, leaving only what will last. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not just for abstract power, but for purity. We are consecrated children of God. We are called to live separate, pure lives. Yes, we are called to live in the world, but we are also not to be of the world. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. 120 people odd, all filled with the Holy Spirit. The rushing mighty wind, the tongues as of fire, were only unusual temporary phenomenon which accompanied the true gift, being filled with the Holy Spirit. While it be wrong to expect a rushing mighty wind or tongues as of fire to be present today when the Holy Spirit is poured out, we can experience the true gift. We, just as they, can all be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we should do what the disciples did before and during their filling with the Holy Spirit. So the disciples were filled in fulfillment of a promise, not just Jesus' promise to them, but the promises of the Old Testament. Those promises go on to be promises for us. We too have the same sense of claiming those promises for ourselves so that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled as they received in faith. Yes, you need to believe in God and in God's love and in God's sacrifice to be able to receive, absolutely. They were filled in God's timing, the perfect timing of God. They were filled as they were together in unity. Be careful of the division that causes the Holy Spirit upset. And they were filled in unusual ways. They were filled uniquely, one upon the other, so that they each one would be able to bless others, to spread that message of love and compassion. Remember that the early church went into plague villages, areas where nobody chose to go anymore, and cared for those who were dying because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't just give us the attractive gifts, he gives us the ability to stand with people who are struggling and to love them even when they struggle to love themselves. Amen. We're going to sing now.